God has started this church over 37 years ago, and the purpose and intent is just this. We want to know the Lord, to glorify Him, to know Him in an intimate way, not just to come together and have church services, but to really become intimately acquainted and grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. So you're here today, and I trust that you get what you came for. No, not get what you came for. Get more than what you came for today. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and you may be seated. This morning, well, again, we mentioned on Wednesday night, appreciating what took place on last week, Saturday and Sunday, with the women coming together, mothers, and on Saturday, the opportunity to just be a part of that, the celebration on and the serving on Saturday, but then the powerful word and fellowship on Sunday morning. We appreciate all that God said, all that He did, even through my wife, Francine Walker. I was talking about it while I was away. Just got in last night. The plane was delayed because of the inclement weather, so we had to be in the air over an extra hour in the air trying to divert the storm, go around the storm, and as a result of that, getting in about 10:30 or so, but I said, just keep praying because God still has word for us and God's going to do what He wants to do. So today I'm going to share some things. And in fact, I have so much in my heart to share with you. And I just believe that this is going to be a continuum from Wednesday night. I'm still trying to get back to an understanding and your understanding the about the ark and all of that. But I just have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And this is something the Lord impressed in my heart the last few weeks, is understanding the essence of prayer, the importance of prayer, and how we as the people of God can move to another level of prayer, because the foundation of everything that we say, everything we do will be, I would say, it must be bathed in prayer, and it must be anchored in prayer. And today, as I was meditating, or last night and today, was thinking about even coming to that place of embracing the knowledge of God. What does that really mean, to have the knowledge of God? God all-knowing. And then the Lord will see fit to allow us to share in His knowledge so that we can participate in what He knows, but never being at a place of absorbing all that He knows. So I'm entitling this, The Essence of Spiritual Knowledge. And Father, my prayer is that You will say and do what You will to do. And Lord, let it be insightful, enlightening to all that have assembled here this morning, that You will take us to another level, a deeper place of understanding. And we give You the praise and honor for all that You are and all that You're doing, in Jesus' name. Amen. The essence of spiritual knowledge. And I was looking at this word essence, first of all, to understand what is essence. And I understand, I think Pastor Van Covenden preached about essence once before, and he talked about how we get everything we can out of the thing that we're participating in. And this essence, I put it this way, we talk about the essence of spiritual knowledge. Essence is the intrinsic nature of our indispensable quality of spiritual knowledge. That's what it is, because you see, there is this indispensable quality of spiritual knowledge, and not an abstract view of it, or empty religion without substance or content, because we can get involved in religious activity, but that activity can be so empty and so vague that it has no purpose and no meaning. And that's one of the things I'm trying to help you move away from, meaninglessness to a meaningful relationship with the Lord. I'm not dismissing or discounting everything that you've attained to this point, but I'm still saying that there is a place in God that we as a people are yet to arrive. So now we're talking about getting away from empty religion and that doesn't have any content, substance, that determines the kind of knowledge we're talking about, the kind that really determines the very nature and character of God. We talk about, and when God is misjudged and his motives, when he's misjudged, his motives remain unknown. We'll be wondering, what is God really up to? What is God really up to? Maybe God isn't all that he's supposed to be. Maybe God isn't this or that and the other. And in our day and time, people are exploring these exotic religions. The title is The Essence of Spiritual Knowledge, but exploring all kinds of other things. But we begin to say that they've not gone deep enough into a clear understanding of who the Lord is. But here in Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to begin here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. This is what was said here. It says, seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who, and this is the part I'm emphasizing, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now in this, so much is being said in this particular scripture that it will take a lot of time to really explain it all. But it is saying in essence that we have a high priest who can relate to us. We have a high priest that identifies with us and can relate to us. He's one who, I like the scripture, can sympathize with our weaknesses. He can identify with every weakness that we have inside of us. Now, what I'm doing here today is placing the church and the people of God on notice. You see, we are coming to a place of, we talk about being placed on notice. We're saying that God is wanting us, there's an alertness, an awareness that must take place in all of us. Appreciate the testimonies. In fact, I was sharing with someone even recently. They were talking about the foundation that was established here when we were Abundant Life Church, beginning in 1980, and how many of them began to understand foundational truths and were growing as a result of the things that were established within their lives. But then, even when that foundation is laid, then you begin to have experiences in life. And sometimes those experiences that you have in life are difficult to explain. It's hard to comprehend. You know, what's going on now? Why is it happening the way it's happening? And what happens if you don't go back to your point of reference? And that experience can become your starting point. That could become your starting point. You believe that this thing has happened away from, outside of the things that God had, in fact, instructed you in. But then the Lord is saying that he is our high priest and he must always be our point of reference. Whatever you're going through, you can go back and reference Jesus Christ and his life and the things that he went through, and here, not only the things that he is instilling within us, or instilled within us as our reference point. And then the thing that the scripture says, that he wants us to feel what God feels, because he feels what we feel. We have a high priest that feels with us what we feel. Don't ever think that the Lord doesn't know what you feel or how you feel when you're feeling the things that you're feeling. But then the thing is, do we feel what he feels? Because not only do we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses and sympathize with the things that's going on in our lives, but the objective is to get to the place where we can feel what he feels. a sensitized people, a people that's been spiritually awakened and sensitized, alert. See, Christ is able, here's what the Lord can do. Once we understand that he feels what we feel and our desire is for us to begin to feel what he feels, here's what the Lord will do. Christ is able to articulate our pain. Even when we do not know what we feel and why we feel it, he's able to articulate our pain. You see, because there's a war that's taking place within the soul. You see, I like the scripture we talk about incarnation, God coming in the flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh. Now, you got to hear what I'm saying here. He is God in flesh. In other words, this is God with skin on him. That's what we have. We do not have a high priest that doesn't have some skin. So since he has some skin, guess what? He feels just like we feel. He hurt just like we can hurt. Do you follow? So the things that we go through, he's as human as we are. That's our God now. Look at the humanity of God. God is human. That's a hard point to make because we have to really think about it. God in the flesh is human. But he's not just human. He's divine. He came in flesh so that we would understand that now he feel what we feel. But he is saying to us, but do you know what I feel, how I feel? Being God in the flesh, do you know how I feel? Since I am God in the flesh, I know the things of God, but I also know the things of man. So we see the warring that takes place within the soul, the inner warrings that we can't understand. Much of what you may be suffering may be self-inflicted. You see, it could be that you're so busy wanting your own way when God is wanting something better for you. You follow? Because what happens, you'd be surprised how much of our fighting is trying to get God to see our point of view rather than allowing God to reveal to us his point of view. See, God is saying to us, do you know how I feel? Do you know how I feel? This is Jesus now. Do you know how I feel? Knowing the things of God, knowing the things of man, and if he only knew the things of man, then he would feel a different way. But knowing the things of man, and at the same time, knowing the things of God, he is saying, do you know how I feel? So we see the warring taking place within the soul. So now, your way is self-destructive. If you just push past all of this, it becomes self-destructive. It is almost like Frank Sinatra's song, I did it my way. I did what I did it my way. I did what I wanted to do. And God is saying, oh, it grieved my heart to see you pushing past me when I know the end before the beginning and everything in between. It grieves the heart of God. You have to understand what love is all about. Sometimes you have to step back and let people do what they want to do and have their own way. But can you imagine when you do that, the kind of pain that that individual feels when they know better? See, I want you to really see the heart of God and understand the heart of the Lord. See, the Lord, we see a particular thing that's attractive to us. And God says, I already know where that path is leading you. I already know the outcome of that particular thing. I already see where you're headed if you do this thing. He said, I place before you what? Life and death, blessings and cursings. He said, this is an open book, a quiz. He said, choose life. He said, choose life. He said, because it's going to affect you and it's going to affect your generation. He said, but the person decided. They said, but Lord, how can I trust the fact that you're telling me to choose life is the right decision for my life? And then God says, because look at my history, look at my track record, look at all the people that have chosen the wrong path, and look at the consequences that they suffered as a result of making wrong choices. And you say, well, that might have happened to them, but that's no guarantee it's going to happen to me. Because I'm an individual, I'm unique in and of myself. But the Lord says, but I know everything about you. I know your coming and your going. I know everything about you. But you say, but however, God, but I know myself better than anybody knows me. So the argument between you and God takes place, the individual and God. And then God finally says, there's no instruction that's going to make a difference in your life. There's no teaching that's going to bring you to a place of understanding. So the only option left to me is to step back and allow you to have your way. Because your experience will have to be your teacher. Even in my knowing that your experience is going to be detrimental to you. But God in love steps back. And he allowed the person to have his or her way. And understand, it doesn't take away from God's love. Because all the while, he is saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So now, as we begin to look at this, and this is what God is dealing with me, the objective of this teaching, for you to become spiritually awakened. Church, and I'm speaking specifically to this congregation, that you become a spiritual awakened people, that people will take notice of your spiritual growth and development. You see, I can't bring instruction to everybody. I can't deal with every people on the place of the earth, but we're talking about those of you that's a part of this church, those of you that's a part of Cross Culture Church, those that call me pastor, those that look to me for instruction. Let me tell you something. My prayer for you is that you become a spiritually awakened people, that you will begin, that people will take notice of your growth and development, that they will want to get what you have received and inquire as to where it came from. You follow? Because the best advertisement is a life well developed. The best advertisement. We could talk about signs and wonders, and we're going to see signs and wonders. God is going to manifest himself in powerful ways among us. But the best advertisement is going to be a life. A life that's well developed, where the word has taken root within the hearts, the lives of the people that are sitting under the word, so that when you step outside of these doors, they can see a difference between you and people that have not been instructed the way you're being instructed. Do you follow? That's my heart's desire. That's my prayer. That's my passion. I want people to see the message lived in you. So they'll say that I'm not just wasting time and just throwing out words at you. This is not just a time of religious ceremony and with meaninglessness and nothing. We talk about the essence, spiritual knowledge, that people are taking advantage of what God has made available to us. So that's a part of it. The other, number two, the quality. They want to see, I want the world to see the quality of saints produced from this house. I want people to see the quality of saints produced from this house. That each will possess inner strength to resist the temptations of the enemy. That each one of you, the inner strength, that you will have the inner strength to resist temptations. Because temptation is going to be all around you. But what happens, you would have already been instructed. So when the temptation comes, you will be prepared for the temptation before it even approaches you. Do you follow this? What God does, he instructs us before we're challenged. Because God knows the challenges that are coming down the pike. He knows. We have to understand this. He knows everything that's about to happen. We look at the politics that's taking place today, and there's a whole lot of things happening in the world today. Russia, that's rising up again in power, and you know what's happening with the president of Russia, Putin, now is wanting to regain the power to become a superpower again. We see what's happening in America. I won't get into all the policies of it, but now Saudi Arabia being strengthened financially. Or militarily, I'll put it that way. They're already financially rich because of all the oil and stuff. But now they're being strengthened militarily. And you know, that's the cradle of Islam. And all it has to do is that, and in this last day, you believe Islam is going to rise and it's going to become a force that's going to be a force to be reckoned with, that's going to challenge the very core of Christianity. But yet, understand, in politics, people don't understand what's really going on with this whole thing of providing arms and that, the other things. I won't get deep into it, but I want you to understand that there's a whole lot of things that have been prophesied that's now coming into position, but yet people don't realize what's really happening. They're looking at one thing and another thing and another thing. But here, God would have us look at the whole thing. So when these things begin to happen, you would have been forewarned and well prepared for spiritual engagement when these things begin to take place. And number three, the peace of God will rule and reign over your life so that you will not be moved by all these things that are happening. You'll not be moved. When they happen, you're not in fear. You're not in flux because of things happening so rapidly in today. I love this in scripture here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. I want to read this out of the Amplified. Colossians 3:15. We talk about the peace of God. It says, and let the peace, and it says, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually. Act as an umpire continually. In other words, an umpire called the shots, right? What is that? One umpire said, he said, it's not a strike until I call it a strike. You see, he's not out until I say he's out. So let the peace of God rule continually as an umpire in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. So when those questions arise, the peace of God will settle the situation. He said, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. So he's really saying is that we have the peace of God. So the peace of God will rule and reign as an umpire, settling with finality all questions. So when things begin to happen, we still have the peace of God. You say, but this is happening. This war is breaking out, and these people are acting a particular way. But I still have the peace of God. Why? Knowing you've been instructed. God has instructed you. You see, this is more than just coming to church and getting a sermon. You're being instructed so that the peace of God can rule as an umpire. God can settle you. And you wonder why so many people being disturbed today, more so than any other time. Why is so much flux in the world today? Because they don't have the peace of God. And you cannot have the peace of God until you, first of all, are at peace with God. You see, you have to be at peace with God. And the only way to be at peace with God, you have to be born of God. Born of God. Born of the Spirit. Born again. Saved. I ain't talking about joining some church or institution. We're talking about being saved. And guess what? You get saved. When you really get saved, you're going to have a heart for the truth. You see, when you really get saved, I'm not talking about, you see, you can join a church and then you'll make a decision. See, you join a church, then you unjoin a church, right? Why do you unjoin a church? Because you're joining what? The church of your what? Of your choice. You join the church of your choice. So understand, so if you change your mind, then that choice that you made is no longer the choice that you are yet making. So you leave that and go to the church of your choice. So men, women choosing where they want to go and what they want to do, but still that's not being joined to Christ, because you have to be what? Born again. And when you're born again, the Holy Spirit can place you in a position, in a place where now you're being fed, you're being nurtured. You see, now you are growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. But how can you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord? Because you are as newborn babes desiring what? The sincere milk, or the earnest milk of the word, that you may grow by it. So you will not have an appetite unless, first of all, you are alive spiritually. So I hope this is making sense to you. So now, as a result of it, the Lord is showing me something here. He said the time is going to come where there's going to be a hunger like never before. That hunger isn't here yet. The world is preparing the scene for it to happen, because the hunger isn't there yet now, because people are still making choices. But this is the day of choices. People decide what sex they want to be. I want to be a man this week, and tomorrow I want to be a woman. That was one situation where the person decided to be a man, and then the woman decided to be a man, the man decided to be a woman. And then after they had the sex change and became, the man became a woman, the woman became a man, they realized that they liked the opposite sex. So the man wanted women and the women wanted men, but the man wanted to be a lesbian and the woman wanted to be, you see, a homosexual. Because what happens, they wanted to be the opposite sex, desiring the opposite sex. I said, but that's nothing but what? Confusion based upon choices when God is not acknowledged. But that may be the extreme, because you look at that, but what about the choices that we're making today? What about the choices people choose, people decide, people, you see, there's nothing to regulate the choices among individuals, because we make up our mind today, change our mind tomorrow. There's no, and I'm not saying that change of mind, a change of heart is always wrong. But it's wrong when we choose against what God knows, which is best for us. That's the point I'm making. So now we begin to see that that there's no peace as a result of that, because the peace with God leads us to peace of God. So when you don't have peace on the inside, you won't have peace outside. So now, but when you have the peace, you're giving praise to his name. You're called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Because you praise him because you say, Lord, you know and you've shown me what I otherwise would be incapable of knowing. In Romans chapter 8, this is what the Holy Spirit does. Talk about being born again. I was thinking about this just the other day. I mean, I was thinking about it even sitting here. I was thinking how the Lord is going to cause things to change and this transformation that's going to happen. But before I get to Romans, this is what the Lord just showed while we were worshiping. It was here in Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 15. This is what's going to take place. He says, first of all, it says here, because the palaces, in 14, the palaces, the people shall mourn upon their breasts, the pleasant fields for the fruitful vine on the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all my happy homes in your joyous city, because the palaces will be forsaken, the bustling cities will be deserted, the forts and towers will become lyres forever, a joy of wild donkeys, a pasture flocks. Now, it's talking about that which God had actually provided, but yet we begin to see it deteriorating. We see deterioration taking place in that which God had provided. My Bible says the consequences of complacency. That's what it says here. He said, so out of complacency, we begin to see all of these things taking place. The rise up, you women who are in ease. Hear my voice, you complacent daughters. Give ear to my speech. In a year and some days you will be troubled, your complacent women, for the vintage will fail. The gathering will not come. And it goes on. Triple you women. It goes on and on and on. But then it talks about all of these things happening. But then in verse 15 it says, these things will continue to happen until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. He said, we begin to see the effects of complacency. We talk about complacency, those that have, they do not have an interest in being rightly instructed. People who have pretty much gone their own direction, doing their own thing. They have it their way. He said, and we begin to see where the church has lost her cutting edge in America. I won't say in the world, but in America, where the church has lost her cutting edge. We begin to see where there's a desire and a passion for other things rather than the things of God, where true religion is replaced with false religion in America. And little wonder why decisions are being made the way they're being made. Little wonder why now God is not relying upon the election process or who run for office or who win office. Now, God's looking way past that. He said, but I'm going to give you what you ask for. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to give you what you command, what you desire. I'm going to give you, you see, the very expression of your heart. The thing that, you see, because now, to be honest, this is the wave of America. This is not just coincidental or something that's circumstantial. This is the wave of America. This is the direction America has taken. So as a people, as a nation, this is the direction that we've taken. It didn't just start in this election. We're talking about back. You go back even beyond that. And we see how things have degenerated. But it will continue. And then we see the falling away taking place in the church, where people are not, you see, going after true religion, but they're going after false religion. But he said, it will continue. He said, so now, rise up, women who are at ease. Rise up, women who are at ease. Rise up, hear my voice, complacent daughters. Give ear to my speech in a year and some days. You will be troubled, you complacent. God will begin to stir some stuff up. Until what? The Spirit is poured upon us from on high. Until the Lord pours out his Spirit upon us from on high. See, the Lord is saying, I believe we need a fresh renewal or baptism in the Holy Ghost. You follow? I love what was said a little while ago about being filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But we need that refreshing again. See, there's a whole lot of people that thought that they were filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they don't even have a clue what it really means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to hear me now. You follow? Yes, you were born of the Spirit when you received Jesus Christ as Lord. But he is saying, what I want you to do, and I want you to come to that place where you are baptized, immersed into the Spirit of God. So that now the Spirit has taken full charge of your lives, so that you don't take ownership of your life any longer, but you have surrendered your life completely to the Lord. And the first thing that he's going to deal with is your language. He's going to arrest your tongue so that you don't sound the same way you used to sound. You don't speak the same language that you used to speak. But now your tongue will no longer control your life, but the Spirit will control your life because he will arrest your tongue. And understand this. Some people think it's just a matter of saying some glibbish, some words, gibberish rather. He said, but no, what happens? You see, the mind is arrested, the heart is arrested, and the whole body is engaged. And God will allow you to speak beyond your intellect as a sign. Beyond your intellect, because your mind, for the most part, messes things up. Your mind is the very... I would say that's where the war is taking place. Your thought life is the thing that's messing you up. Because you think a particular way. As a man thinketh in his own heart, so is he. So if you're not thinking right, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to act right. So I'm not talking about the world being baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the churchy folk need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. So that now, as a result of it, speaking in, you see, it's not just a matter of saying words, but it's a matter of being in a place where we're immersed in God so that the Lord will become our life. And nothing is more important to us than the Lord. You see, you talk about the power of God manifesting among us. Then you'll begin to see God use you in ways beyond anything you've seen before. Not just waiting on God to bless you, you'll become a blessing. Until the Holy Spirit is poured on from on high, he said, and watch what he'll do. He will change you first. But then the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. When that happens, you're going to see people, like I said, when people will desire what they see being developed within you. When you step outside, they're going to say, where did you get this from? Why is it that the world is going in a particular direction and people are doing particular things, but you're not a part of that? But not only what you're not doing, they can't do what you're doing. They're not saying what you're saying. We did a simple test even these last few weeks of saying, let's just change a little bit of our language. But you understand what I'm saying here? Let's just make a few adjustments in the way we approach God so that we are not redundant in the things that we say. But all of these things were being said so that we can begin to at least focus our attention in the right direction towards him and not hold on to things that may be counterproductive to our spiritual growth and development. But understand this, the Lord is saying, not only that, he says, I'm going to turn this place that appears to be barren into a fruitful field. And I'm going to turn what appeared to be and the wilderness will become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will become a forest. Look at the progression. I will turn the wilderness. What is this word, wilderness? Wildness. Everybody doing their own thing. I will turn the wilderness and it will be cultivated. The wilderness will become a fruitful field. And then the fruitful field will become, you see, a fruitful field is like a garden. And then the Lord says, he says, that's as a result of your caring for it. But then the fruitful field will become a forest. When it becomes a forest, I take care of it. I like the scripture where it talks about the old foot pumps. He says that the Egyptians would use the foot pumps and they would water their garden. He said, you will not, I forgot the exact scripture. He said, where you're watering it with a foot pump. That's what he really alludes to. He said, but the water will come down from heaven, will come from me. And it will cover hills and valleys. It will become widespread because God will cause what we have cultivated into becoming a forest. That's revival. Let me go on, because this is where the Lord wanted me to help you to see here. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, he begins to help us to understand we talk about what's happening on the inside of us. He says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits, with our spirit that we are children of God. See, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit will agree with our human spirit. There is a spiritual alignment. The Holy Spirit, our human spirit, align with the same passion, wanting what God wants for us, or what he wants for me. He said, the Spirit will bear witness our spirits that we are the children of God. And then it says, we talk about the progression from the wilderness to a fruitful field to a forest. He says, now, if we are children of God, then look what is attached to your becoming children of God. You are children of God. So then if you are a child of God, then you're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wait a minute. Let's go back. What happened? The Holy Spirit gives witness to my human spirit. There is a knowing. There is a knowing that now I am a child of God. I don't have to guess about it. I have to speculate about it. And being a child, you got to hear what I'm saying here. To be a child of God meant that I am an infant growing in the things of God, but yet the life of Christ is inside of me. So if I am a child of God, look what happens. The Holy Spirit gives witness to my spirit. Because a child know his parents. A baby know his parents. You see what? You can put a child in a room and all the voices of women and men may speak, but that child would not respond like he would or she would to his own parents. He says, so now what happens? The born-again spirit can recognize his or her daddy. He said, my father, I understand. So the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that we belong to the Lord. Now, if we belong to the Lord, if we are children, then look at what comes with that. We are heirs. Heirs of God. And if we are heirs with God, which meant that the inheritance that God has for all his children, that's our inheritance. You see, what the Lord has in store. Now, the Lord already knows what he had. I can't wait to get to this part. Maybe not today, but the Lord already knows what he had in store for you. He said, there are certain benefits that I have in reserve for you. You're an heir. You can't manage it yet because you got to grow into it. But I know what I have in store for you. He said, these blessings that I'm holding with your name on it. He said, in due time, they're going to come. They're gifts. They're talents and abilities that I have in store for you. There are some things that's going to amaze you. Don't think you understand what they are. They're beyond all of that stuff. See, you keep comparing yourself to other people. God says, I want to take you beyond all of that. He said, but first of all, be a child. You're a child. He said, then you are heirs of Christ. You're heirs. He said, and being an heir, what happened, heirs of God, he said, the things that I have for you are in reserve. He said, but not only are you an heir of God, but you're joint heirs with Christ. So when you say you're joint heirs with Christ, all that belong to Christ is yours. Jesus is the head of the body. So the body of Christ is going to rise up, y'all. In this day of adversity, in this day of confusion, when all this stuff is going on, God's going to raise up his body. Don't just look at who comes and who doesn't come and who's interested and who's not interested right now. But the time is going to come when the Lord is going to raise up his body. Oh, I believe this with all of my heart, that God's going to raise up his body. And guess what? I'm so, I guess, ignorant enough to believe that I have a part of it and that the message that I preach is aligned with God's will and that God is going to use these words as a way and means of impacting this generation. So now if I'm naive, well, pray for me. But I believe God is going to use me in that. And he want to use you in that particular area because joint heirs with Christ. And he says, if indeed what? Oh, Lord, now you want to shut your Bible down. If indeed you suffer rejection, if indeed you suffer persecution, if indeed the enemy comes out against you in every area of your life, if indeed people can't get along with you because they don't understand you, if indeed you become the black sheep in the family, if indeed you suffer with him. Are you hearing something here? If indeed you suffer with him, because suffering is a part of the whole process. If you suffer with him, suffer with him, suffer with him. I mentioned before that the greatest suffering is being ignored. The greatest suffering is when you do what's best for one, but yet they do not want to accept what's best for them because they think they know what's best for themselves. He says, so if you suffer with him. So it is really saying, yes, we know the sufferings of Christ that took place on Calvary. Yes, we know the sufferings and rejection that he suffered during his earthly ministry. But let's take it into a contemporary setting. The sufferings of Christ today, because he's still the head of the body. How much suffering is Jesus Christ suffering today? How much rejection is he experiencing even today? How many people are turning their backs upon him today? So, yes, believe this. He says, so we suffer. He didn't suffer after him, suffer with him. So if we suffer with him, he said, that we may be glorified together. And the time will come when the Lord, you see the thing, the fruitful field will become a forest. We glorify together. So what happens? The witness of the Holy Spirit, God, he witnesses, the Holy Spirit witnesses or agrees with us. The Holy Spirit and our human spirit align, same passion. Otherwise, God always appears to be unreasonable in his demands, overbearing. You say, God, it's just not fair. The things that I'm having to deal with, the people I have to put up with, you follow what I'm saying? So now, we talk about this witness. I just need to just deal a little deeper into that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three agree as one. And there are three that bear witness on the earth. Listen to this now. What's in common? The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Spirit, water, blood. We see baptism. We see suffering. We see all of that. The Spirit, water, and blood. These three agree as one. That's the witness on the earth. But in heaven, we see the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. What's in common? What's in common between heaven and earth? The Spirit. So the Spirit in heaven, you see, these three are one. We begin to see the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But on the earth, we see what? The Spirit, same Spirit, the water and the blood. Washing of the water, the Word. We begin to see, understand that the water baptism, that we are washed, are cleansed, you see, symbolically, and also the blood of Jesus. These all agree as one. So now, when we see the agreement, the alignment of the Spirit, water, and blood, blood, humanity, because only human beings bleed like that. You know, dogs bleed and others, but I'm talking about bleed. Only God, Jesus bled redemptively. And human beings, when they die, you see, their souls are leave their body. But here, we begin to see the agreement. Spirit, water, blood. They agree as one. But the Holy Spirit is in common between earth, heaven and earth. Now we're getting, I'm giving you a lot of scripture because I want you to really see what he is saying here. Then we go to Romans, go back to Romans chapter 8, because we saw the Spirit bear witness to himself, bears witness with our spirit. But if you go down to 26 of 8, Romans 8, 26, it says, now, look at the Holy Spirit now. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Same Spirit, we talked about this Wednesday. What? The Spirit, Holy Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Why? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Who's in common between heaven and earth? The Holy Spirit. We do not know the Spirit that's in heaven and on the earth at the same time helps us. Because what is our reference? Earth. You follow? But his reference, he knows what's happening on in heaven as well as upon the earth. So what is he helping us do? In our weakness, he's helping to interpret things from a heavenly perspective. So the Spirit now, watch this, we do not know what things we should pray for as we ought, because all we keep referencing are the things upon the earth. He said, but here's what the Spirit does. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us. So the Spirit now, who has knowledge of heaven and on earth, begins to say that since he doesn't know what your plan is for his life, and he's trying to build his life based upon what he thinks he knows, the Holy Spirit shows up and said, he says, so what I'll do, I'll stand between what he doesn't know and what I desire to reveal to him. So the Spirit not only reveals truth to us, but he intercedes on our behalf. Oh, you hear what I'm saying here? He intercedes on our behalf. He said, even before you know it, I'm going to present to God that which you will get to know in the future. If you allow me to lead you and guide you in all truth, what I'll present to God is your future. Oh, I wish you could hear this. So he makes intercession for us. But understand this, your mind cannot understand it. It is far beyond your intellect. So what happens? He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be articulated, that cannot be uttered. You can't even articulate what's being... This word groanings, deep cry within the heart and soul that's too intense for words. The soul is troubled. The troubled soul, the intense passion to know the Lord. Desire to see the conditions or problems. The conditions or problem and the solution to that problem meet. We want to see the problems that we are aware of met with the solutions that we are yet to discover. We know Jesus is the answer to every problem. But how is Jesus going to answer the problem that we're facing? So what happens? The groanings, articulating the deepest sentiments of the heart. Because now, you see, within our heart, you see, we're born again spiritually, but we're not born. Our souls, there's still some soul salvation that must take place. We talk about the soul, that's your mind, that's your will, and that's your emotion. Because understand, you live in this world, your spirit, when you're born again now, we talked about those that born, you see, you can't be any more saved than you already saved once you're born again. The Lord saved you spiritually. But you understand, your mind still has to be renewed. And then your will is based upon your, you see, your references. You see, I will this, I will that, based upon my references. And then there are things that God will reveal to me. And now what happens? I'm warning something that I cannot see. Oh, I want to show this before I close. I know we are almost out of time, but there's something that I want that I can't see. There's something I desire. I can't put my finger on it. But I desire it. Why? Because in your spirit now. So you're talking about a person who's born again. In your spirit, God has revealed. God has done something inside of you to give you a passion for more than just this complacent stuff, this mundane stuff. Because in your spirit, you want something more than this life has to offer. That's in the realm of the spirit. You see, because you get to the place, you get bored with stuff. You said, this is boring. This is just, if it's all is make money, it's all just to make friends and do this and that. Then what? Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. There has to be more to life than this. Because what happens, you see, when you're born again, he places within you a sense of dissatisfaction. He said, you just can't be satisfied with the stuff that satisfies. You see, because before you were born again, brother, if you just had the right woman, the right, I just want to, and then I got to get the next one and the next one and the next one. You follow? Going from place to place. And then the more you are exploring what you thought you wanted, the more dissatisfied you become. The right mate, women, same thing. I just want a new dress. I just want to, there's had a man in my life that could really be a man. And then you say, well, I got him now, but you see, but I don't know. Still, you see, dissatisfaction. That's dissatisfaction. It's still not exactly what I thought it was. So you follow? So what happens? I need more money. We just take some trips. Now I've cruised. I cruise every 3 months. I fly to Italy and I go to Japan. I go all these places. But there's still this dissatisfaction that I can't figure out why it's still there. You know why? You see, first of all, if you're not born again, you've been awakened spiritually. The Lord, I would say that's like pre-salvation. He has awakened you to the reality that there is something more, but you hadn't really sought in the right direction for what God would have you seek after. But then what happens? You get to the place where you receive Christ, and now there's a different passion. You say, Lord, I want to know you more. You hear a message like this, you begin to see where it connects with your heart. You say, it registers deep within you. You say, well, that's what I'm talking about. In fact, what will happen when you're born again, when you hear a message like this, it is saying, you are giving expressions to my sentiments. This is the way I feel on the inside. You see, what happens before you're born again, I would listen to, all of us did, I mean, not all of us, many of us did, would listen to certain songs on radio. One time, I wrote the song down from the radio. I think it was Just a Matter of Time. This girl wouldn't give me the time of day, and I was trying to figure out how to get to her. So what I finally had come to the point, I said, well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to write this song out for her, and she can read it, and she can hear. It's saying it better than I could ever say it. So I wrote up, so long, until you reach the end of the line. You're going to need me again. It's just a matter of time. And I wrote that out. My sister saw that letter. And she said, Junior, join the army. He said, where's Junior? He'd have joined them. They thought I had ran from home and had joined the army. But what I was saying here was that the songs of that day would articulate the sentiments of our heart. You follow? You know, what happens when you're dating, you have your favorite song. And I would say, and Francine, I gave her a song. I said, Francine, this is our song. My song is Don't Go Changing, Trying to Please Me. And Francine said, you know, in a couple of weeks or months from here, that's going to be nothing but a lie, because you're going to be trying to change me. So, But the point is that, you see, there are certain things that are being said that really express the sentiments of our heart. But the same thing applies spiritually. When God is talking, when God is speaking, you said, I didn't say that in my words, but to be truthful about it, that's exactly the way I feel. Some of you may be feeling that now. You said, this is exactly where I feel. But that's a good thing. It's when the word of God spoken expressed the sentiments of your heart. That's a sign that God is at work on the inside of you. But if you can hear it and be offended by it, and you can walk away from it and treat it as if it never was said, didn't mean anything to you, and say, I need more than that, then there's a question as to where you stand with God. But let me finish this. He said, so now we begin to look at the groanings. I wanted to say, he said, groanings, troubled soul, desire to see the conditions, problems change, articulating the sentiments of the heart. Some of you, I would say some of you today are experiencing the beginning of this longing, but you do not understand what's happening on the inside of you. So he says, the Spirit makes intercession on your behalf that you may one day become an intercessor yourself. He, the Spirit, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And here's what it says. Now he who searches the heart, same spirit, knows what the mind of the spirit is. He who searches the heart. You see, now you're talking about your soul, your spirit rather, searches the heart. He knows what the mind of the spirit is. Your spirit knows the mind of the Holy Spirit. But what he does now, he is searching your heart. So now what is he doing? He is saying he is bringing to the surface those things that lie within the heart. You see, because there's a whole lot inside of us that we're unaware of. We don't even know it's inside of us until something triggers it. Something will trigger, and you begin to say, where did that come from? That was lying dormant within your heart. All it took was for that trigger to be ignited, and it comes out. You see, so what am I saying here? Is that things can lie within our heart dormant. And you say, you think it's arrested. You think it's done away with. It's only arrested. It's arrested. It could still be in the heart. But the Lord is here to try to purge that. He want to purge any residue that might remain within your heart. That's what the Lord want to do. Because understand, that can become the stronghold that the enemy continues to go back to revisit. You follow? What he'll do until that thing is dealt with. We talk about deliverance. You see, there are certain things I've been delivered from. I was delivered from them when I received Christ. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord delivered me from a whole lot of stuff. But there were some things that still remained within my heart. They remained within my heart. And at that particular moment, I wasn't thinking about it. And since I wasn't thinking about it, I thought he was gone. I said, well, praise God. I am delivered from every vice that I've ever had in my life. The devil said, yeah, that's right. You've been delivered from every vice that you've ever had in your life. He said, so you can do anything and you're not going to get caught up. You're not going to get caught up in anything because you've been delivered. You could go on back to I went to the bar, witnessed all of my friends in the bar. I told you the story. I sit at the bar and witnessing to all my friends, you need to receive Jesus Christ. Somebody passed by, but I'm saved. Somebody, you get a drink. Well, praise God, I'm saved, because there was a time I would have been right here doing the same thing that I used to do. But praise God, I'm saved. I can handle temptation. Somebody can put anything in front of me, and I can resist it. You follow what I'm saying? How naive I was. Because you understand what happens. You see, I was saved spiritually, but I wasn't delivered from everything. And that was still a renewal of the mind that had to occur. You see, I had the power to resist, but I didn't have the will to resist. Mind, will, and emotion. I didn't have the will to resist. He give you the power. In other words, you don't have to succumb to it because you're born again. You have the power to resist, but now you have to have the will to resist. You see that? So after a while, you see, you resist. And then don't ever get to the point where you start having confidence in your own flesh that I know I can handle it. No. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Don't lead me into challenges that I'm not spiritually capable of handling as of yet. And God will do that too. He started blocking things so that I wasn't being tempted as much. I talked to one pastor. In fact, I think this pastor is no longer pastoring. But he would tell me, he said, Why is it, Pastor? He said, almost every time I have a counseling session, he said, some woman would come in my office and she would try to seduce me. I said, brother, I don't have that problem. I don't have that problem. And then he said, well, he thought all pastors had that problem. I said, let me tell you why you have that problem. Because that thing has not been arrested in your life. That has not been arrested in your life. Since it hasn't been arrested in your life, you're a magnet for the things that you have not surrendered as of yet. Don't put it on the women. Put it on yourself. I told him that. I said, when you walk in the fear of God, you watch and see. I'm not saying you won't get tempted or someone might not try something. I said, but you won't live your life always under that kind of pressure. Why? Because you walk in the fear of God. You walk in the fear of God. Now, let me finish. So now, look what happens. The Spirit makes intercession, groanings. I want to finish that part. Groanings that are inarticulate. This groaning, troubled soul, desire for conditions to change, articulating your heart. He makes spiritual intercession for us, and he brings us to a deeper level of knowing. The intercession, groanings. Now he searches the heart, know the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. What? According to the will of God. Everything that's happening is according to the will of God. It is saying that the Holy Spirit is committed to God's will. See, I'm just going to put a pin in that because I got some. He is committed to God's will. Let me put it this way. He's not going to let you rest as long as you're trying to do your own thing and move in your own direction. You see, if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside, you can't find any rest outside of the will of God. You say, why am I so troubled? Why is this thing happening? Why is it that I get caught? Why is it that this thing happens to me? Look, everybody else get away with it. Now I can't get away with it. They pick me out of the crowd. They say, you. They say, what about him? No, not them. You. The finger's being pointed at you. So why did you pick me out? Because you have something inside of you that you're misusing. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. And you have no business taking the Spirit of God and misusing him the way you're frustrating the Spirit. He's committed to your becoming holy. His commitment to you is that you become righteous. That you reach this point where you glorify God with every part of your being. But you're trying to still do it your way. Why couldn't I succeed? Why couldn't things work out for me? Why am I so frustrated? Because you're not where you belong. You're not where you belong. You're trying to be somebody that you're not. Man of God, woman of God, that's not where you're supposed to be. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You belong. You're his treasure. You belong to him. And I didn't say that you weren't born again. I'm saying because you're born again, that's why you can't do it your way. So I'm leaving you with this. God is going to have a church, and the Holy Spirit is committed to the Lord having a church without spot or blemish or wrinkle. When you get born again, you better count the cost. You better ask yourself the question, do I really want this? Do I really want to spend eternity with the Lord? Because he's getting you ready for eternity. You're going to go somewhere, and you're going to spend eternity someplace. If you're going to spend eternity with the Lord, he's going to get you ready now for eternity with him forever. Now, if this registers with your heart, you're either awakened spiritually or you're born again. You're already born again. But if you're awakened, it's time to be born again. And if you're born again, allow the Holy Spirit. Just surrender to the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of resisting. I'm tired of trying to make you obey me. Holy Spirit, send you forth and do this. Holy Spirit, move this way. No. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in me. Let's stand. And surrender. Surrender afresh to the Lord. Surrender fresh. Just lift your hands before the Lord. Lift your hands before the Lord. I gave you what God gave me to give you, and I trust you have received it. But Lord, have your way in me. Have your way. You talk to the Lord about it. Have your way in me. Have your way. Surrender afresh to him. Whatever it is you may be holding on to, let this be that day where you begin to release it, dispense of it. Because God is going to take you and this ministry and other ministries like it, and he's going to make his glory known to generations to come. But understand this, it can only happen through a surrendered people. A people that can look at our lives and want the Christ they see in us. The Christ they see in you. That's what we want. That they will desire. They'll ask you the question, where did you get this from? And you'll begin to tell him, Jesus is the difference in my life. Ah. So Father, move now in the hearts and lives of all that's gathered in this place. Those that's watching, those that's listening, deal with them the same way you're dealing with us in the house. Even though they're not here, we pray that you'll arrest their hearts and draw them close to yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you would allow us to live to hear a message like this. That we would hear this message in condemnation as a result of rejecting you and being forever banished from your presence. But we can hear this message of love now in order to be drawn to you. So Lord, search the hearts now of, let your spirit search the hearts of each person that's in this place. And whatever it may be, may they have the willingness to let it go. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.